Tonight to turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 1, book of Malachi, chapter 1, read the first 6 verses. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, said the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified in the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. Then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Malachi was the last of the prophets to the restored remnant after the 70-year captivity. The children of Israel had, of course, passed through great trouble. They had been scattered over the earth, and God in his grace and mercy has now restored them to their own land, given them a period of peace, a period of prosperity. However, the irreverent attitude toward God that resulted in their long captivity in Babylon had once again infected the people. So God sent his preacher Malachi to remind these people of God's favors and also of their gross ingratitude toward the one who had treated them so graciously and with so much mercy. And as Malachi looked out upon the people, as you read through the book of Malachi, you see that he addresses and he sees a prevailing irreverence that was keeping the people of God from enjoying the things of God, and that was taking the people of God further and further and further from God. And his heart was burdened. And we read in verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So what Malachi preaches, he does so with a great burden. He does so with a burden for God's people. The irreverence that had taken hold upon them, of course, was a large obstacle. It was quite an obstruction to the service of the Lord. And really, it had become a plague in their lives. But again, this was an ongoing problem throughout the history of Israel. We want to speak tonight on the ongoing problem of irreverence. Not only was it an ongoing problem with Israel, it's an ongoing problem today. Irreverence. Irreverence is a plague. It is something that has plagued the Lord's people. It's something that has plagued the Lord's churches. The message begins, or the subject is addressed, in the form of a question. We see in verse 2 that Malachi begins his message with the statement of the fact that God loved his people. He said, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Verse 2. Now, the love of God, of course, there's nothing like it. It is unique. It's eternal. It's uninfluenced. That is, there's nothing in us that prompts or causes God to love us. There's no cause of God's love outside of God Himself. We say that God's love is particular. He says, I have loved you. It is a particular. It is a particular love. It is a love that is selective. It is a love that is discriminating. It's a love that is active. It is a love that is sacrificial. God's love is infinite. It's without beginning. It's without end. God's love is invincible. Many floods, many waters cannot drown it. But with all of this in mind, concerning the love of God, I have loved thee, he says. I have loved thee. That ought to be marvelous. That ought to be marvelous to us. Those ought to be wonderful, wonderful words. To hear God say, I have loved you. To hear God whispering in your ear, I have loved you. This is something that ought to fill our souls with exaltation. Something that ought to cause us to want to praise the Lord. Something that ought to fill us with gratitude. Something that ought to fill us with deep, deep humility. And then Malachi, after he states this fact of God's love, I have loved you, saith the Lord, in verse 2. He then proceeds with his message, with this God who loves his people, stating two facts that are commonly assumed. We see these facts are stated in verse 6. A son honoreth his father. That's a fact. You can assume that. A servant honoreth his master. Following the statement of those two facts, by way of rebuke, he asks two questions. And they regard the two statements. The questions are, if I be a father, where is my honor? The fact is, a son honoreth his father. And if I be a father, where is my honor? The fact is, a servant honors his master. That raises the question, and if I be a master, where is my fear? Where is my honor? Where is my fear? Those two words, honor and fear, have reference to a distinction. They have reference to a particular recognition of God, a particular respect of the Lord, a particular esteem of the Lord, an adoration of God, an exaltation of the Lord. The one who asked the question is the one who had so graciously loved them, who had so graciously blessed them. And what he is asking is simply this: where is my reverence? A son reverences his father. A servant reverences his master. And I have loved thee. Where? Where is my reverence? He made reference in verse 6 to their irreverence. He implies it by his questions. And then he makes direct reference to it in verse 6. He says, O priests that despise my name. And that word despise simply means they thought lightly the name of God. The name of God throughout scriptures represents the character of God, represents who he is. And they thought very lightly upon the character of God. They thought very lightly upon who God is. And there aren't many today amongst God's people who really take the time to think about who God is. And that's irreverence. They did not give due regard to who the Lord was. Now, to reverence God means that we regard Him with awe. That word awe has almost lost its meaning today with sports, but we are to regard God with awe. We are to regard God with the highest respect and the utmost affection. It's something we're commanded to do throughout the Scriptures. We're commanded to reverence God throughout the Scriptures. We're commanded to fear Him, which simply means to reverence the Lord. This reverence for God is absolutely necessary if we're going to serve God acceptably. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 28, "Let us have grace, whereby we may serve acceptably with reverence and godly fear." You cannot serve God acceptably without a reverence for the Lord. In all our duties toward God, in all our duties toward man, God is to be exalted. God is to be considered. God is to be acknowledged. God is to be recognized. In all of our thoughts, in all of our words, in all of our actions, there is to be a reverence for God. And He is to be the object of glory. He's to be our goal. When we see this all through the Scriptures, people giving glory to God. Reverence for God is necessary if you're going to live wisely. You know why many today live like fools? Is because they have no reverence for God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the very beginning of wisdom. If you don't have the beginning of wisdom, you're not going to live wisely. There has to be a reverence for God if you're going to live a wise life. This reverence for God will cause one to hate sin. We read in Proverbs 8 and verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." That is, we manifest our reverence for God by hating evil. You cannot reverence God and esteem sin. You cannot reverence God and hold on to sin. If you reverence God, you hate evil. And the more you reverence God, the more you hate evil. We see this reverence of God leads to a departure from evil. We read in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." They depart from evil by fear of the Lord. Now, if that be so, and it is, then that means that those who do not fear the Lord rush into evil. And oh, how true that is. This reverence for God shows itself in a willingness to give the best that you have for the Lord. It shows itself in a willingness to let go the best that you have. It shows itself in a willingness to offer the best you have. We see this with Abraham offering Isaac in Genesis 22 in verse 12. "For now I know that thou fearest God." God speaking to Abraham, "seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." This reverence for God takes delight in the commandments of God. Psalm 112 in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments." When we reverence God, we take delight in His word. Also, this reverence for God causes one to offer more than mere lip service in worship. Notice in Isaiah 29, keep a mark there in Malachi, we'll be going back, but in Isaiah 29, and verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me, their reverence toward me is taught by the precept of men." Their problem was they had an irreverence toward God, and their irreverence toward God made them satisfied with just a mere lip service. They said the right things, but their heart was far, far from God. And if you go to church any time at all, you will learn very quickly what to say. You'll be able, you know what the right things are. But that's not reverence for the Lord. We can say the right things. We can even do the right things and still have an irreverence toward God in our hearts. So from all of this, we see that reverence for God has a very vital place in the character of a child of God. It has a very vital place in the service of the Lord. But in Malachi's day, irreverence had become rampant amongst the people of God. Where did this irreverence come from? Well, it was a result of their thoughtlessness toward God. It was a result of their unbelief toward God. But irreverence was rampant. And irreverence today is rampant as well. And as you look through the book of Malachi, you see several ways in which this irreverence manifested itself. And irreverence still manifests itself in the same ways today. And we want to look at about six ways that they manifested their irreverence toward God. First of all, and this is not in any order of importance, their irreverence was manifested by they simply did not recognize the grace and mercy of God in their lives. Notice verse 2 of chapter 1. I have loved you, saith the Lord. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Yet ye say, wherein? That is, in what respect? God, you say that you love us. In what respect, in what way hast thou loved us? They were so irreverent of God that they did not even recognize the love of God. They did not even recognize the blessings of God upon their lives. Irreverence caused them to be oblivious to the Lord. Cause them to be oblivious toward God's love. Cause them to be oblivious toward the blessings of God. It caused them to be thoughtless. It caused them to be insensitive toward the love of God. It caused them to be indifferent toward the love of God. It caused them to be insensitive and indifferent toward the grace of God that God had so abundantly shed upon them. Irreverence. I love you, saith the Lord. And yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? They called into question the grace and the mercy of God. God's people do that all the time. I've had such bad luck. It's irreverence. You're failing to recognize God in your life. And I believe if you and I would listen as the children of God, if we would listen carefully, we could hear the Lord say, I have loved you. Tells me that every day, over and over and over and over again. And yet how often God's people call into question the love of the Lord, the blessings of God. That's irreverence. That's irreverence toward God. Secondly, their irreverence was manifest by the fact that they simply did not lay to heart what God said directly to them. God would speak to them, it meant nothing. They did not lay it to heart. Notice in chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, if you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. There's far more preaching that's not laid to heart than that is. Very little is really laid to heart today. Very little. It's irreverence. It's irreverence. The failure to lay God's word to heart, the message of God, to apply it directly to our hearts, is a result of irreverence toward God. And they manifested this fact that they did not lay it to heart over and over and over again throughout the book of Malachi. In chapter 1 and verse 2, God states the blessing, I have loved you, yet ye say, wherein? They did not lay it to heart. They did not lay it to heart that God loved them. Verse 6, we see once again, and ye say, wherein have we despised thee? God told them, you that your priests have despised me. And you did not lay it to heart. Instead, you want to argue, you want to debate the subject. And ye say, God says, and then ye say. Verse 7, he again charged them with a sin. And then we read those words again, and ye say. They're not laying to heart what God is telling them. They're not listening to what God is saying. And that is common today. That is prevalent today. People are not listening. People are not laying it to heart what God says. Because if we laid it to heart, let me tell you something. Sundays would be different than they are to most people. It'd be different. Chapter 2, verse 17. Again, there's a charge. Yet ye say, they didn't lay to heart what God was charging them with. Chapter 3. Verse 7, he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Everything God says, they debated. They refused to lay it to heart. They refused to take it seriously. It had little to no effect upon them. That's irreverence toward God. Chapter, or verse 13 of chapter 3. Again, there's a charge. Yet ye say, they simply shrugged off what God said to them. Notice chapter 1, verse 13. With that in mind, that they shrugged off what God said to them. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And then notice what it says. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. That is, I have spoken to you, and you sought to put it out. That's irreverence. I have spoke to you, and you sought to smother it and choke out what God has said. You chose to ignore it. You chose to try to forget it.
This is common today.
Happens every Sunday. It happens every Wednesday. Yet ye snuff at it. Due to irreverence, what God said to them meant nothing. It meant nothing. And I'm afraid that's where we are many times today. What God says means nothing to most of God's people. The only time it means something if it's convenient for them. But you can't pick and choose what you'll give heed to. You can't pick and choose what you'll lay to heart. Due to irreverence, they thought that what God said was open to debate. That's pretty common today. Thus saith the Lord, and everybody wants to argue with it. Well, what did he mean? What did he mean when he said that? He mean what he said. God's word is not open to debate. We're to obey it. It is irreverence that wants to debate everything God says. It's irreverence toward the Lord. They had little respect for God. Therefore, they had very little respect for what God said. Throughout this book, God speaks very directly to them. God speaks very plainly to them. But due to their irreverence, they continued on their way. They continued in sin. Continued living their lives as they always have. Because they did not have enough respect for God. Thirdly, their irreverence was manifest by the offerings that they made to God. Notice verse 7 and verse 8. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible, despicable. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now, he presents a challenge. He says, offer it unto thy governor. That is, take the blind and the lame and the sick of that which you sacrifice and offer it to your governor. See if he wants it. See if he'll accept it. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. You see what was happening because of irreverence. Instead of bringing the best they had, instead of bringing the most perfect, they thought it was good enough to sacrifice that which was torn, that which was crippled, that which was cheap, that which had no value in the market. And they thought that was sufficient. The diseased lamb was laid there without any thought to the greatness of God. The diseased lamb was laid there without any hesitation. Due to their irreverence, they offered that which cost them very little or nothing. And because of their gross irreverence and their disregard for the person of God, they were satisfied in offering unto God what no one else wanted. They were satisfied with that. That's irreverence. That is due to irreverence. And oh, how many today, because of irreverence, give nothing but leftovers to the Lord. You know what? God's not interested in my leftovers. He's not interested in yours either. Yet that's all that some people have, is what's left over. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 9, God's not interested in your leftover time, your leftover money, your leftover abilities, your leftover talents. He's not interested. In Luke chapter 9, notice verse 59 and verse 61. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. Lord, I've got something else to do first. Suffer me first to go bury my father. You know what's sad is almost everybody doesn't see a problem with that. That's what's sad. Well, that's legitimate. He ought to be able to bury his father. The Lord wants first place. First place. Even if there's a conflict between the Lord and a burial, God gets first place. Verse 61. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. Legitimate. But the lesson is, God wants your first fruits. He's not interested in your leftovers. Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me do this. And then after I do this, I'll need to do this and this and this and this. It's irreverence. It's irreverence toward God. God's not interested in our leftover money. That's why he says over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament to bring the first fruits. God isn't interested in leftovers. He wants what's first. First God. God's not interested in what you would be ashamed to bring to man. God's not interested. He's not interested in mere lip service. He's not interested with mere outward righteousness. And it is the result of irreverence that is satisfied with mere lip service, that is satisfied with just outward works of righteousness. We can't be satisfied with that. Notice in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 through verse 28. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within there's a problem. Everything's clean on the outside, but within there's a problem. But within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but there's a problem. But are without, are within, full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within, there's a problem. You're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. God's not interested in lip service. But irreverence is content to give God lip service. God is not satisfied, he's not interested in mere outward righteousness. But irreverence is quite satisfied with a form of godliness. Jesus asked by way of rebuke and condemnation in Luke 6, verse 46, he said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" They gave lip service, Lord, Lord, but their lives did not correspond with what their lips said. Israel, during Malachi's day, thought that God should be accepting of whatever they gave him. And I'm afraid many think that today. Well, God ought to be satisfied with whatever I can give him. After all, I'm a busy person. I've got news for you. He isn't satisfied. And he isn't interested. He isn't interested in your leftovers. All of that, that whole attitude proceeds from an irreverent heart, an irreverence toward God. Fourthly, we see their irreverence was manifest by their hardness of heart and failing to see and acknowledge their sin. Again, we'll read these same verses that we've read. Chapter 1, verse 6. He charged them with despising his name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Verse 7, he charged them with offering polluted bread upon his altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In chapter 2, in verse 17, he says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. That's just another way of saying the Lord is sick and tired of listening to you. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied thee? Chapter 3 and verse 8, he charged them with robbing God. Yet ye say, wherein? Wherein have we robbed thee? Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? God very clearly and pointedly charged them with sin. And he was very, very specific. And when Malachi reproved them and rebuked them, they sat there and their attitude was this: who, us? Certainly you can't mean us, God. We're the people of God. We're innocent. It's irreverent. When we have a proper reverence for God, we see the awfulness of our sin. We see the vileness. We see the wickedness. And our hearts are sensitive toward our sin. But irreverence refuses to recognize sin. Irreverence seeks to deny sin. It's very quick to deny sin. There's many ways of denying it. Irreverence is quick to minimize it. Irreverence is quick to justify it. Irreverence is quick to excuse it. Irreverence is quick to blame someone else. But the one thing irreverence does is it will not acknowledge its own sin. It will not lay it to heart. Fifthly, we see their irreverence was manifest by taking the things of God and treating them as if they were common. That's a plague today. That's another message. Chapter 1, verse 12. But ye have profaned it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. To profane is to take that which is sacred and to treat it as if it weren't. To profane is to take that which belongs to God and to treat it like it was ordinary. God, in Hebrews 12, verse 16, charged Esau with being a profane person. He sold his birthright. He took that which was sacred and he treated it as if it meant nothing. He treated it like he would treat anything else. That is rampant today in our churches. It's rampant. And we don't have the time, but we could preach another message on that. But they showed their irreverence by taking that which was holy and treating it as if it was ordinary. Taking that which God had set apart and treating it like the ordinary. That is the result of irreverence. Lastly, their irreverence was manifest in that they considered the Lord's work a drudgery. Notice verse 13 of chapter 1. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? Saith the Lord. Behold, what a weariness is it. It's amazing how that God's people can give their hearts and their lives and their service to the world, and they never seem to get tired, they never seem to get exhausted or burnt out with the world. When it comes to the things of God, oh, they're so tired. They're so exhausted. They're about to burn out. They looked upon the Lord's service as demanding. They looked upon the Lord's service as grueling. And it was a weariness to them. You have a proper attitude toward the Lord, as we said this morning, that changes your attitude toward the Lord's work. If you have irreverence in your heart, you look at God's service, it's just, oh, it's so hard. Oh, it's just so hard. I just don't know if I can go on much longer. It's just so hard. If you love somebody and you think highly enough for them, you're willing to go through anything for them. And that's true of the Lord as well. The problem today is not the difficulty of the work. The problem today is irreverence toward God, which makes the work seem that much more difficult. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, we have the remedy. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. When you love God, His commandments are not grievous. You know, in Joshua 23, when Joshua stood and said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He also said to those people, if it seem evil to thee this day to serve the Lord, choose whom ye will serve. Then he presented some gods. If it seem evil to serve the Lord. There are a lot of God's people, or who profess to be God's people, who seem to think it's evil to serve God. Seem to think that it's wrong to serve the Lord.
That is the result of irreverence. What we need today is we must have a respect. We must have a respect for God more than we have for anything or anybody else. We must have an esteem, an adoration for the Lord. For our hearts to stand in awe of God. And if we had that, that would affect and alter our entire life. That would affect and alter much of the thinking that is so prevalent today. Well, how do I get this reverence for God? Well, you won't get it by ignoring Him. I assure you of that. You won't get it by being oblivious to God. That's why Solomon said, in all thy ways, acknowledge God. Always be aware of God. Study God. Study God. And by that I don't mean going to a Christian bookstore and buying a book about God. This book tells us about God. Study the person of God. Study who He is. And may it sink deep into our hearts. Study the person of God. In Isaiah 6, when you see those words, holy, holy, holy. Study that. Meditate upon that. The holiness of God. Every single day, we ought to take the time to study God, to learn more of God that gives us a reverence for the Lord. And then as we study God, and if we sincerely study God and search God out in the Scriptures, God reveals Himself. As God reveals Himself, begin to have a reverence in our heart for God. And after you've studied God, God has revealed Himself. Look upon Him. Look upon Him. Not just a casual gaze, but look upon God. Look at Him. Look at Him as He's revealed in the Word of God. We ought to do this every day. We ought to look upon God every single day. Just look upon Him. Take the time. You've studied God. You've been looking upon God. Now meditate. Give deep thought to what you've learned through study. Give deep thought to what you see as you look upon Him. Meditate upon God. Every single day, we ought to take the time to just take a few moments and think about God. Think about His greatness. Most do not do this. And they go through their day oblivious to the hand of God in their lives. And that creates irreverence in their hearts. But if we want to reverence God, we have to study Him. We have to learn about Him. We have to be constantly looking upon Him. And you know what? The more you study Him,
the more you want to look upon him. The more he reveals himself, the harder it is to look away. And as you look upon God and as you meditate upon God, you begin to have a reverence for God in your heart. And this reverence is foundational to serving God. And then after we've done all these things, we need to acknowledge God. We need to recognize God in our lives. God works miracles in our lives every single day, and we're so busy and so oblivious and ignorant, we can't see them. We need to acknowledge God. When something happens, acknowledge God's hand. Whether it be something you consider good, whether it be something you consider bad, acknowledge the hand of God. It'll give you reverence for the Lord. And this reverence is key. It's key. It's absolutely necessary. If we're going to serve the Lord. Irreverence throughout the Old Testament was an ongoing problem with the children of Israel. It hasn't changed any. It's still an ongoing problem amongst God's people. The sin of irreverence. Again, this is something that plagues our churches. Many churches can put the blame on their own doorstep because of the God they preach. The God they preach does not command reverence. But many times God is preached, and people are so irreverent they do not lay it to heart. They do not hear what is said. Oh, we need a reverence for God in our hearts. And that will enable us to serve the Lord. As I've said hundreds and hundreds of times, we are guilty over and over of misidentifying the problems. We confuse symptoms with the real problem. Irreverence is a real problem. And there are many symptoms. But you cure the irreverence, and the symptoms will go away. But we have to get to the root of the problem. And that is the sin of irreverence. You and I cannot imagine how offensive it must be to God for the creature, and especially for a saved individual, to irreverence the Lord, to not show respect unto God, to not show respect unto the house of God, the Word of God. The reason people do not show proper respect to the house of God is because they do not have proper respect for God. If I come into your house and take my car key and just run it across your coffee table, you know why I did that? Because I have a disrespect for you. It shows disrespect for the owner. And the reason we mistreat God is because we disrespect God. Lord, help us to have a reverence for Almighty God. But can you imagine how offensive it must be to God for His people to bring that which is torn and blind, which nobody else wants, and then we act as if God ought to be just thrilled to death to have it? How offensive that must be to a holy God. Oh, that we reverence the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.